Yeah, I'm, I guess, what you would call a cradle Catholic. I was born and raised in the Catholic Church, baptized at St. Agnes Parish here in Springfield. I went to St. Agnes Grade School, Sacred Heart Griffin High School, and so the church has always been an integral part of my upbringing and particularly my education.
As you realized that you were gay, did you have any hesitation of remaining in the Catholic Church, which has had a longstanding teaching that although being homosexual is not wrong, engaging in homosexual activity is a sin?
I probably first knew I was gay when I was, I would guess, in fifth grade, I think, are my earliest memories of when I started to experience same-sex attraction. For the longest time, I tried to ignore who I was and what I was experiencing, and when it became evident to me that I could no longer ignore that, I went through a pretty dark period in my life where I tried to change that, where I dated girls in high school. I went to church more often than probably most Catholic kids do. At one point, I was inside a church every single day praying that God would change me, and eventually it just became evident that that wasn't going to happen either. And I came out my senior year of high school. Luckily, the community was fantastically supportive. My teachers stuck up for me.
And this is a Catholic high school, I might add.
This is a Catholic high school, yes. One of the sisters who worked in campus ministry hugged me and told me that I was perfect just the way I was, which, I mean, at that point in time, that's exactly what I needed to hear. Yeah, so I realized, though, that that's not the experience of many kids in Catholic schools. So my experience in that sense, I think, is somewhat atypical, I think was really foundational in my faith life as an adult.
Are you currently a member of a parish in the Springfield Diocese?
Yeah, I go to St. Joseph.
Are you active in that parish?
Yeah, we've been going there for a couple years. We are also licensed foster parents in Illinois, and our first placement was an infant who we took home from the hospital. We had her for 10 months, and we took her to Mass with us every Sunday. And so even if we weren't always introducing ourselves as the gay couple, you know, people still saw us. We didn't make any effort to hide who we were. I mean, here are two men with a baby. I mean, it was quite obvious to everyone in the parish who we were. And the atmosphere from every single person was very welcoming, very affirming. People made a point to let us know that our family was welcome there as we were.
Even the pastor and the priests at the parish.
Yeah, I mean, and I have to be careful because I don't want to get anybody in trouble in the diocese. You know, the bishop, I think, has a very authoritarian way of ruling his domain, and so I want to be careful. But I will say that yes, our pastor was very welcoming, very kind to us from the very beginning. Made it known that again, we were welcome in the parish as we were.
The bishop of Springfield, Thomas Proprocki, mm-hmm. has issued. Yeah. What he called a policy decree on same-sex marriage. And he said that same-sex couples, people who are in gay relationships, are not to serve in ministries, they are not to receive communion, and they cannot be buried from the Catholic Church. What was your reaction to that?
I was very disappointed and very hurt. You know, and on one hand, what is in this decree is not really anything new. This has been the official teaching and practice of the church now for quite some time, obviously. But on the other hand, we have a pope and we have other bishops who have made it clear that they see the church going in a different direction. Archbishop Supich in Chicago, for example, Blaise Supich, he recently affirmed that LGBT couples in same-sex marriage can receive communion in the Archdiocese of Chicago because, according to Supich, presenting yourself for communion is a matter of conscience of the individual person who presents themselves for communion. It's not the job of the priest to judge the state of someone else's soul. No one can judge the state of someone else's soul. And if you feel that you are in a good place and your conscience tells you it's okay, then go for it. Pope Francis has said something similar. He welcomed a Lutheran woman to communion, for example, not that long ago. And we have bishops like Joseph Tobin, who...
Newark Diocese.
Yeah, he just welcomed a group of LGBT pilgrims to his cathedral, and he introduced himself as Joseph, your brother. And so we have other bishops too, Robert McElroy in San Diego, who are making it clear that they see the church going in a different direction, that the church is not to be exclusive. The church is a field hospital, as Pope Francis has said. And the Eucharist, communion, is, again, another Pope Francis quote, it's not a prize for the perfect, but it's medicine for the sick. You know, we don't have to be necessarily in this perfect state of existence in order to receive communion, because nobody is. Everybody is sinning all the time. And what makes one sin greater than another sin? And I'm not implying that being married in a same-sex relationship is a sin in this case.
You're listening to Sound Ideas. I'm Judy Valente. I'm talking with John Fremmel, who is a parishioner in the Diocese of Springfield. We're talking about the Springfield Bishop's new pronouncement on same-sex marriage policies there. So I take it that you have no plans not to receive communion when you go to Mass on Sunday. You are going to continue going to Mass, the Catholic Mass on Sunday.
At least at this point, we continue to go to Mass, and last Sunday, we were not denied communion, and I hope that this coming Sunday will be the same. If we're in a situation in which that's a possibility, then we'll have to reevaluate, obviously, because I don't want to put myself or my husband or anyone in my family in a situation in which they no longer feel comfortable or safe, or in which they're spirituality or their relationship with God could potentially be in jeopardy, I guess.
Many people have commented on the refusal to give funeral rites, Catholic burial rites, to gay men and women who are married mm-hmm. or in relationship. And many have said that might be just the most hurtful part of the pronouncement of Bishop Paprocki. How would you feel if your spouse was denied mm-hmm. Catholic funeral rites, and how would your spouse feel if the same happened to you?
It's something I don't even want to think about, because, you know, the funeral ritual, I guess, is really for the family. It's for the people who are grieving the loss of someone. This really is a slap in the face of the survivors, of the people who have already experienced a great trauma, and this just magnifies that trauma. I hope that when that time comes, that we can ensure somehow that we would be able to make arrangements in advance that would be satisfactory to everyone involved.
You mentioned that you married your spouse in 2014, obviously not in the Catholic Church.
Right.
Was that hard not to have the ceremony in the Church of your faith?
Well, you know, there is a movement who some in the Catholic Church might call heretical or schismatic. I don't think so, but it's called the Roman Catholic Women Priests Movement. It's a movement where women who are called to the priesthood can be ordained in a Catholic ceremony, and they maintain the line of apostolic succession, which is so important to the Catholic priesthood. And I was able to find a Roman Catholic woman priest who said Mass for us, and so we had a wedding Mass. It was not in a Catholic church, but it was in a United Church of Christ congregation that I had discovered while I was in college. We had, like I said, a Catholic Mass, and so that was very important to me, and I was very happy to be able to do that.
Bishop Paprocki issued a further clarification of his pronouncement on mm-hmm. same-sex marriage policies, and he said that, in his defense, that the Catholic Church not only has the authority but also the obligation to disseminate its teachings and to ask people to abide by its teachings. Would you agree with mm-hmm. that?
Well, I think we have to make a very clear distinction here between the church and the hierarchy. The hierarchy is certainly a part of the church, but it is not the entire church. And the bishops, in particular Bishop Papraki, does not own the church. In reality, the church is the people of God. And the people of God, the people in the pews who go to Mass, reject discrimination against LGBT people, and especially against LGBT Catholics within the church. I just read, actually, on Monday, a new Pew study that said 67%, that's two-thirds of Catholics, are in support of same-sex marriage. And the only category that's higher than Catholics in support of same-sex marriage are the non-affiliated, non-religious people who don't identify with any religion. So other than that group, Catholics support marriage equality in a higher number than any other category of individuals in the United States. So that tells you something right there. Several hundred years ago, before this era of, I would say, neoconservative bishops, a teaching had to be affirmed by the hierarchy, by theologians, and by the people, by the laity. And the current teaching on sexuality, and in particular LGBT issues, it's certainly affirmed by many within the hierarchy. It's not affirmed by theologians. It's not affirmed or accepted by the laity. And so I think that's an important key point here that you have to keep in mind.
John Fremmel is a parishioner in the Diocese of Springfield. John, thank you for talking about the bishop's new pronouncement on same-sex marriage policies.
Thank you very much for having me.
I'm Judy Valente.